EFTM.
Tech, cars, lifestyle.
This is the EFTM podcast with Trevor Long.
EFTM.
Thank you for listening. Great to have your company. Thank you for downloading. Always appreciate it because, you know, it's a choice. I get that. This is not in any way, unless you're in the car with mum or dad who've had this on their phone, I apologize. I mean, if you're being forced into this, I'm just not sure what I can do to help you. I really don't. But if you're choosing to do this, I appreciate it because, as I was broadly going to say, it's a choice to hit subscribe. It's a choice to let it download every week. It's a choice to bother to listen every week, and I appreciate it. I appreciate those people who have also gone to the trouble of liking and rating on Apple iTunes or Apple Podcasts, as it's called now. And that means a lot. Lots and lots of ratings there, over 400 ratings. And that number means more people looking and going, geez, there's a lot of that's going all right. So, yeah. Those numbers matter and are greatly appreciated. So don't hesitate to do that if you're in the mood. If you're listening on Spotify, thank you. There are ways to leave stars and even questions, I think, on Spotify, but I don't look at them, I'll be honest. So it's just another place to look. I've been there once or twice and noticed them, but it's bloody hard. Like if I was being paid millions of dollars by Spotify, I'd look every 5 minutes, but I'm not. So good luck to you. Thanks to those with feedback on ideas of the last little while, like you know, giveaways and app and things. So there's a bit of progress there. I've got good plans in place now. It's going to take a little while, a couple of months, to really push forward the plans. But and I've got a little strategy, I think, now. You know, I had an annual general meeting with myself, and I had a strategy meeting with the strategy subcommittee of myself, and then the finance committee approved everything like instantly. It was unbelievable. No, zero, like 100% unanimous support, which is really easy when you work for yourself and alone. So you get that. I'm not funny at all, I know. Anyway, today, a bunch of calls to get to. We're going to talk TVs. We're going to talk smartwatches. We're going to talk cameras. We're going to talk as many things as we can. Plus, we're going to talk Boost Broadband. Boost Mobile has announced they're getting into broadband. Now, I'm going to talk to Peter Adderton shortly, the founder of Boost Mobile. And I will broadly call him on the fact that they did announce this a couple of years ago. And what took so long? And how long is it going to take this time? Because there's a bit of a reputation there for announcing things and going off early, shooting off at the hip, as they say, shooting from the hip, I think they say. So we'll talk to Peter Adderton to find out whether or not they can shake up the market. That's the question for me. Can you shake up the market of broadband? And if so, how? That will be fascinating. All that and whatever else we can fit in on this episode of the EFTM podcast. Two Blokes Talking Tech comes to you later in the week on Wednesday night in the Two Blokes Talking Tech feed. Best Movies You've Never Seen comes to you later in the week as well on Friday morning in the Best Movies You've Never Seen feed. If you're on Two Blokes Talking Tech, you'll get it on Saturday morning. The private feed is fun and enjoyable, so give it a listen if you want to hear two blokes just gibbering. It's literally like putting a microphone when two mates catch up, which I enjoy. So we've got so much content for you. You can see all those other podcasts in your list. You can get rid of them now. It's okay. You can get rid of them. That's fine. We've got you covered. The movie last week was World War Z, and this week, When We Were Kings, if you're interested. All that and more coming up on the EFTM podcast. Lovely to have your company on the EFTM podcast and happy to take your calls. If you've got a tech question, you want to buy something new, you've just bought something new, you want to brag about it, you've got problems with it, whatever it is, happy to help. EFTM.com and just click Ask Trev. Joseph did that. G'day, Joseph.
Hey, good day, Trev. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, really good, buddy. What can I do for you?
Trev, thank you for getting me on your podcast. I just want to ask you a question. I saw your in YouTube, all your channels, and there's one question I was looking for.
Yep.
I'd actually want to answer. I am looking for a security camera at home or spy camera I can install, you know, which currently available in Australia. And I like to support local manufacturers if possible. Something that is reliable, that's Wi-Fi, that doesn't have too much subscription involved, something that I can use with very good quality.
And how many cameras are you looking at? Just the one or a couple?
Oh, it will probably be a few, like maybe three or four, something like that.
Yeah, cool. Well, look, the bad news is there's certainly no Australian manufactured stuff. If you want to go, the closest you could get to an Australian company would be Swan. Were Australian. They were bought by a global kind of security company in recent years, but they still have a very Aussie twang to them, you know, senior Aussie staff, Aussie research and engineering, all that kind of stuff. So they're probably the most Aussie. I would then put Arlo and Uniden, while not pure Aussie companies, what I would say about them is I know them. Do you know what I mean? Like I could ring.
Yes.
Like if you said to me something was wrong, yada, 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 I could ring someone at Arlo. I could ring someone at Uniden locally here in Australia and I can have a conversation with them and they'd get it sorted. So from my point of view, that's as good as you want because you want to know they're onshore, they're here to help, they're here to support, all that kind of jazz, and they're selling through major retailers. So Swan, Arlo, Uniden would be the three that I'd kind of distinctly narrow it down to. Obviously, by doing that, you do eliminate the big brands and the global, like Amazon's Ring, Google themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Eufy would be one of the other more common ones, and they're a Chinese company. They certainly have a distributor in Australia, but I don't know much about them other than they make good products and people swear by them. So there isn't actually a bad brand. If you buy from JB's or Harvey's, there's no bad brand on the shelves in Australia. You got a Bunnings, you got a JB's, you got a Harvey's. There's no bad brands on the shelves. I would say that to you firstly. And then really it's just a matter of which one to choose. Now, Uniden cameras have an SD card slot in them and therefore you don't need the cloud. Arlo cameras don't have local storage. They have cloud, very limited amount of hours or days, and then you pay, as you mentioned, you pay for extra. All I would say to you is the biggest gripe I get from people after they've installed security cameras on my recommendation is too many notifications, the batteries go flat, yada yada yada. The reason you get too many notifications is because you can't really limit them on a lot of cameras. Uniden have a thing, I think they call it ThermoSense, so it tries to detect people using thermo technology as opposed to just a tree waving in the breeze.
Yeah.
Arlo use their Smart Secure subscription to say, look, we'll just send you notifications about what you want. Is that people? Is that animals? Is that cars? What is it? And so there's a tree in front of my floodlight, which can and will set it off. But it doesn't send me an alert unless it's a person that sets off the notification. So for me, the value of what I spend on my Arlo subscription gives me the best performance of the cameras because the more notifications you get, the more video that's recorded, the more battery you're chewing through. Yeah? So you got to balance those three things and work out what that means for you. Are you going to put them inside, outside the home?
It will be, you know, outside and inside. Yeah. Mainly, obviously, I say outside, obviously, just to kind of have that trigger,
And look, the good news is the indoor ones can be hardwired to power, so you don't need to worry about batteries. Yes. And just remember that it's an addictive thing. Once you've got one or two,
mate,
you're gonna want more. You're gonna want more.
This is amazing. Thank you. You know,
Look, I haven't narrowed it down for you, but I would say to you basically you can't go wrong at retail. Arlo are big, long-time supporters of Two Blokes Talking Tech, and Uniden have been a great company to deal with over many years.
I feel very
comfortable about their longevity in the market. I've used both their products for a very long time. They all have their ups and downs, but the most important thing I'd say to you is whatever you buy, don't judge them after a week or two. Keep working on them. Tweak them. Tweak the schedule. Don't expect them to be 24/7 security cameras. They're not. These are, and if you want 24/7 security cameras, you want wired back to a hard drive.
Yeah, no, that's
not
what I want. You're right. You want something when it kind of triggers you out to,
You want something when you're not at home or when you're asleep. That's the way you should see it.
Exactly.
Yeah, 100%. Well, good luck.
I just wanted to mention, you know, we're new in Australia for a few years only, and, you know, the products here are way different than other parts of the world. You know, we're from South Africa, and it's nice to see that people, you know, embrace the stuff here, you know, make sure that, you
know. What sort of things do you notice?
You know, you see it, or like recently there's more, you know, issues happening in the suburbs, you know, with the youth and stuff like that. You know, you want to make sure that you kind of cover, you know, just to have some kind of, you know, viewing, something to see when you get home, if something happens that you can at least have someone, you know, to kind of pinpoint. You know?
But when you mention being from South Africa and looking at different products here, do you notice, is there anything obvious? Quality.
Quality, definitely. And because, you know, you get stuff all over. And I also think the reviews. You know, yeah, things are much more reviewed, you know, like yourself, you know, you have these podcasts and stuff. And there's obviously some maybe a podcast there as well, but it's not as openly, you know, on the radios and stuff, I would say.
Interesting.
It's a little bit different.
I wonder if that's also down to our
right stations, you know?
I wonder if it's down to our retail, the strictness around legislation.
Yes.
And, you know, consumer 100%. Law.
That is
you sell a dodgy product here, it's on you. It's on you, the seller.
Yes. Because, you know, people will go on Facebook and they will promote stuff, you know how it is, and people will get the wrong information, or they just see something and they just start advertising or just kind of giving their 5 cents to it, you know, and then people go, oh, yeah, this is the best, this is the best. And then, you know, on the end of the day, you don't know really where it comes from.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, I can hear the birds chirping in the background. You must be loving Australia then.
Mate, I love it. Yeah. I'll tell you what, we're already citizens and, you know, this is our new home. So we really enjoy it. Yeah.
Welcome. Just don't support the Springboks anymore, mate. Just stick with Australia, mate, and you'll always be a winner. That's you can't let it go, can you? You've got to stick with the Springboks. I know you can't let that go. It should you should be required to renounce your sporting teams when you get citizenship.
You know what? That should be one big thing they put in there, because that's the only thing they don't do. So
my brother-in-law is from South Africa, and I have a worst memory in the world, but I have very vivid memories of the Cricket World Cup in, I'm going to say 98 or 99, or it might have been 2000.
Yeah,
but, 90. And I remember very, this is a horrible thing to say to a South African, but I remember very vividly after, I think it was a semi-final, ringing my brother-in-law and say, and singing him a song, "You've got to run, Alan Donald." Because he didn't run. He got run out.
He didn't. I remember.
Run, Alan Donald. Anyway, I'm being horrible now. Good luck with your security cameras, Joseph.
Travis, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
My pleasure, mate.
To speak to someone that understands the stuff.
Good on you, mate. Enjoy.
Have a good one. See you, Trevor.
Thank you, mate. Cheers. He's from South Africa. I wouldn't say the accent to his face, because that would be rude. But yes, my brother-in-law is South African, and so I picked up the twang on the accent immediately. And yes, I have very fond memories of that World Cup. "You've got to run, Alan Don." I'm sure that was his name. Someone will correct me. Anyway, if you want to be abused for your heritage, please get in touch, EFTM.com, and click on Ask Trev.
This is the EFTM Podcast. EFTM.
Taking your calls, Trevor Long. If you've got a tech question, get in touch. Marcus did that. G'day, Marcus.
Hi, Trevor.
Marcus, what can I do for you, my man?
I've just moved into a new house with my family, and I'm looking at TVs. I see that Aldi's having a 75-inch
TV. $700 is it, I think?
I think it's around $850, okay. The Aldi one.
Right, yeah.
And also, there's a Kelvin one we're looking at for around $750, I think.
What size are you looking at?
75-inch.
Okay. So let's just put it all in perspective. The cheapest 75-inch at a major retailer is around $1,200, right? And that's a entry-level TCL and Hisense, around the same price. Your kind of value level would be $1,700 for like a Hisense or a TCL mini LED style TV. So that's the perspective there. You're looking to save essentially $1,000 possibly, you know, $800 to $1,000 by buying something different. So what's your skepticism, if there is any, about, for example, the Aldi or the Kogan?
It's just mainly the warranty and the quality of the TV and that.
Yeah. Well, look, the quality of the TV is not going to match the $1,700 TV, no doubt. You're definitely going to be a difference. But remember this, and I always say this, you only ever take one TV home. So you're not going to sit a Hisense mini LED or a TCL beside a Kogan or an Aldi at home and notice the difference. You're not going to be able to tell that it's, you know, 200 nits brighter or whatever it might be. If you watch a lot of live sport and you have great vision, as in you can really spot quality, then you may notice the image blurring that comes on a more affordable, cheaper TV. I, however, threw one of these kind of TVs in my kids' games room with an Xbox attached, and they play it willingly and happily, and that's, you know, fast motion, action, all that kind of stuff, and there's no complaints. So I do genuinely believe that you got to buy to your budget. If your budget is $1,000 or less, then would I go Aldi or Kogan? It's a great question. For the value that the Aldi gives you by essentially being able to rock up and just grab it, assuming you've got a very big car or someone you know does, I'd probably get the I'd get the Aldi WebOS TV this weekend, mate.
Okay, Trevor.
And look, don't be afraid to buy the Kogan. They make beautiful TVs. They've got QLEDs. Their TVs also have WebOS. There's really, mate, I don't have anything negative to say about Kogan other than, you know, customer support genuinely doesn't appear to be their best trait, and I wish they would do so much better. And I think they could. I think they learn every time we bring something to their attention, and they always try and fix it. But yeah, they do their best, mate. But you know, just for simplicity, Aldi's down the road. Go and grab one.
Yeah.
All right, Marcus.
Okay, Trevor.
Good on you, bud. Enjoy the new TV when you get one. All right.
Okay. See you, Trevor. Bye.
Cheers, mate. See you later. And I will let me just bring up my emails here because we had a Kogan email or caller last week whose name I already forget. It's Martin. Martin. There it is. Martin. Okay, so Martin had a question about a Samsung Galaxy A54, I think it was, that was bulging. The battery was bulging, so it really needs to be disposed of, but he just couldn't get satisfaction. Didn't realize that he was buying from a third-party marketplace provider, which is what it was, and really struggled to get support. I didn't contact Samsung directly first. I contacted Kogan because I felt like they were the person that sells you the device in Australia, and this is what we talked about earlier with Joseph, the retailer is the responsible party. So it's it's on Kogan here. So I sent all the details that Martin had sent me to Kogan. Let me check the timestamp here. I sent it Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. They replied to me. Obviously, I get this is not their normal customer service center, half an hour later. And the next afternoon, I got an email saying, just to let you know, the customer care team resolved this issue earlier today. The customer will receive a full refund and they have been notified. Reason for the delay, it was a marketplace seller that sold this on our platform and we were assisting with the customer inquiries to the seller. So, you know, basically they had to step in and say, guys, what are you doing here, and resolve it. And I'm assuming create refunds in the back end. Bottom line, they got the refund. I constantly give the feedback to Kogan about this. Look, here's the thing. If I was unemployed, like if all this fell into sundry, probably Ruzan Kogan would be one of the people I would ring and say, mate, is there any work I can do for you? Is there a job going, you know, something, without having to move to Melbourne preferably? I would put my hand up to be chief customer officer at Kogan.com. You know why? Because I have huge respect for the fact that Kogan.com is an Aussie business, you know, doing Aussie things and bloody doing pretty well. And people have their say. And look, I get frustrated with the number of emails I get from Kogan after I buy something there, but I unsubscribe. Whatever. Like they're trying to sell. They're trying to make money. But the pure simple thing I would change is I would monitor that customer service line. I would create a new, I don't know, ticket structure or whatever it is that says the customer's always first. They're not always right because, you know, I've got no doubt they deal with people who are trying to rip them off every day. Every day. So I think just picking up the phone to, you know, six customers a day over the course of 6 hours is going to give you great insight over many months of how you're viewed, how customer service works. And a lot of the time it's probably unbelievably automated. But in these instances where Martin sent an email at one point and then weeks or months, I think it is later, no resolution, it really should have come across their radar. It should have shown up as a big red flag in their system as an unresolved ticket. And then that could have been resolved. And you have to, and it's, so my wife and I talk about this all the time because, you know, she deals in social media and marketing and we talk about like, should we write this or should we put this out or whatever? And it's always like, what would happen if this was on the front page of the Telegraph or the Herald Sun or the Courier Mail? If you think about that every day, then what if this person was so frustrated they went to Trevor Long on his podcast? Do we care? Probably not. What if they went to A Current Affair? What if they went to the Daily Telegraph? You know, you've got to think about the worst case scenario and treat people with the respect that that won't happen. So, yeah. I'm just going to Google it. I feel bad now. Chief. Spelled that wrong. Still spelled it wrong. Customer Officer Kogan. I wonder if there is a person. Yep, there is someone. And, oh, no. That's funny. There's someone with that surname who has the position of Chief Customer Officer somewhere else. I don't see the name coming up a lot. Medibank, I don't know why Medibank keeps coming up, but, yeah, maybe it's a job that could be created by Ruslan and the team at Kogan and to resolve those kind of issues just a little bit quicker. Well, a few weeks ago, NBN announced they were going to try and shake things up with speed plans, throwing the ISPs or the internet providers a little bit off the ball. But any competition is good competition. But even better than just getting different speeds is actually introducing another business into the game, especially one that doesn't mind rattling some feathers. And we heard this week that Boost Mobile was pivoting to Boost Broadband. And Peter Adderton, founder of Boost, is on the line to discuss that. G'day, Pete. How are you?
Hey Trevor, thanks for having me along.
Always a pleasure. So I got to call you on this and say, I reckon you told us about this 2 years ago. What took so long?
You know, to be totally honest with you, I had been kind of critical of broadband in Australia. Obviously, I've been living in the US for over 20 years, and those guys have got gigabit speeds. And I come back to Australia, it was basically like I was coming back to a third world country. And so, you know, with Boost, we want to make sure we're on the best. The best network, obviously, we are on today with our 5G Telstra partnership. I wanted to make sure that NBN was up to the speed of having, you know, Boost on there. So what I've seen is a massive improvement in NBN, obviously with gigabit speeds. So now's the right time now, because they're increasing their speeds. And I think the overall experience for consumers, Australian consumers, is where it should be on the global stage.
What's the premise or the foundation of Boost Broadband? Is it the fastest speed plans, or is it value across any speed for anyone?
You know, I don't want to give away what we're planning to do, but we have some pretty unique things inside the app. As you know, I've got a pretty unique business over in the US called MobileX, which basically uses artificial intelligence to serve up the speeds and serve up the data that you need. So if you just kind of link the two together, I think that you're going to start to see the ability for, you know, us to be able to determine when a family needs a lot of speed and then when they don't need so much, and having that variable pricing. So we're going to try to do something different in the marketplace, as I always have. And the whole concept of Boost has always been about saving money. And so we're going to get flexibility, again, without getting too much into it. But, you know, I've spent quite a lot of time, energy and effort over the last 3 or 4 years developing what I would consider to be one of the most state-of-the-art cloud-based platforms, with MobileX in the US partnering with, you know, the largest carrier in the world, Verizon. So look to us to bring a lot of that technology that we've developed and spent millions on back to the Australian market to deliver a much better broadband experience.
Is the broadband market in Australia basically just boring? Because it is pretty much pick a telco, pick a speed, and that's it. Yeah, everything's unlimited these days. There's no real creativity in any of the plans, other than in the kind of, you know, here's a 3-month offer to come and switch to us. That's really the only creativity that comes into the market.
Yeah, and it's actually an area that I like. I like when the market's equal, when the product's equal. Now it comes down to consumer experience and brand experience, and that's where we thrive, right? And so I'm super excited about coming in, because it is the sea of sameness. Everybody has the same thing. They lower their prices. And so what we want to do is something very, very unique. And I think that we're going to gain market share very, very quickly because of us looking at it from a consumer's perspective. You know, most of the big telcos, it's kind of a bolt-on. They bundle it up. Obviously, some of the other smaller broadband providers are basically out there trying to provide price and a little bit of customer care. We provide price, brand, customer care, and more importantly, technology and innovation that I think is missing in this country. And that's one of the things that I've always, you know, kind of patted ourselves on the back for is we want to create that innovation. So I think you're going to see a lot of that being developed.
Where does, how do you consider customer care? How do you judge customer care? Because I had a conversation earlier about an Aussie company, Kogan, who, you know, purely online, and not, I'm not calling for you to comment on them, but I'll just give you the background of what I was saying. You know, I feel like one of the things they could do better is customer care, and I think they could do amazing things in that space. And I look at Aussie Broadband, who I would tell you, from my experience, are the absolute benchmark for customer care, because you ring them, they tell you how long you'll be on hold, and you end up speaking to a bloke in Shepparton, and they're local. So that pure customer care is very important for that home-based service. Are you looking to do pure customer care in terms of customer support representatives, or are you just looking to make the app so powerful that customer service is something you can take care of yourself?
Look, if you look at it this way, right, the reason why you're calling somebody is you have a problem. So yeah. I would rather do what we're doing with MobileX, where we identify the problem before the customer realizes they have a problem and fix it. So that should eliminate the need. I don't think there's anybody in Australia who wants to call their telco or their broadband provider. I think that would be the last on their list. So if we can eliminate a lot of that, so that takes a lot of, obviously, effort on the back end and technology. But then when you do have to make that call, you want that call to be a great experience. I mean, they're kind of like the care agency, a manager of first impressions. But there also is a trade-off, right, onshore and offshore, right? Mm-hmm. So there's an expense to do it onshore and there's an expense to do it offshore. And so if Australians are willing to, you know, pay the premium, which they do now for a lot of the onshore, then that's fine. You can have that experience. So I always say with all of these things, you've got to look at it and say, okay, what am I paying for? What am I getting? But for us, it's all about making sure that we get to that problem before you have it and we fix it, we isolate it, we communicate with you. So there's no real reason for you to call us. And if you do call us, we'll have the best experience when you do.
Because in reality, home broadband, you should know even better than you do with mobile. You should be able to literally ping every 5 minutes and go, they're still online, we're good. If you ping once and they're offline, you ping again later and they're offline, you should be able to literally send me a message telling me my service is offline.
Absolutely. And why it's offline and get it fixed, right? So you don't have to call in.
Yeah.
And for me, that's really the critical part of what we're going to build. And I think it's really the critical part of any telco going forward is that, you know, I was telling someone the other day, you know, the three most distrusted brands in Australia, Optus is first, Qantas is second, and Telstra is third. Mm. And so when you think about that, consumers are now saying, we want to trust somebody else. And so I think that if we can show them that they can trust us, which they do, you know, we're almost 1 million customers on prepaid on Boost. If they we can show them that they can trust us and that our brands like ours are fighting for them, I think the shift away from the large telcos is happening, and I think it will happen even faster. So, yeah, it is on us as a company, as it is in Boost Prepaid, to deliver the best experience for the consumer. But as I said, try to get them not to call us because, again, I know they don't want to call us.
Has Vicky Brady called you? Because when you signed a 10-year deal with Telstra in 2021 and announced that as part of that deal you'd move into broadband, that was exciting. And now you've signed a partnership with another company, which most of us would never have heard of because they're a back-end wholesaler, but BTB Australia, to provide this service. So where does that put your Telstra relationship?
Look, we've got a great relationship with Telstra when it comes to mobile. Obviously, the good thing about NBN that it basically is there for everybody to use. So it's not a telco, sorry, it's not a Telstra-owned platform. And so, you know, we obviously continue to drive a better experience for our customers. So we look at, okay, who can deliver that best experience? The B2B guys, who you know, right, most people don't know, but the customization and the ability to have a great relationship with the customer outside them having a retail platform as well, which, you know, there are others like Aussie Broadband and Superloop who provide third-party white label services, but nowhere near, in our opinion, as good as what B2B can do and what we can do from a customization perspective. So, look, we're here to fight for Australians, right? And I don't think that Telstra or the ACCC or anybody else would frown on us going out there and fighting for Australians. So the more choices, the more chances you have to be able to get a better saving and a better value. So, you know, from our perspective, we are very, very happy with our relationship with Telstra on mobile. But obviously on the fixed, it's something that we, you know, we want to make sure that we deliver that best experience, and we think our partnership with B2B is going to do that.
Please don't suggest that the ACCC have consumer interests at heart. Peter, you and I have discussed this many times. I'm not convinced they do. But anyway, we won't bring them into it because they won't mind a bit of extra competition in this space. The big question for me then is when? Like, well, obviously the announcement is to garner a bit of interest and all those kind of things, but But when? When can people expect to be able to sign up to Boost Broadband?
Yeah, so I would say the first quarter. I mean, you know, America works in different quarters. So I would say, you know, the July-August period here after the financial year. It's the app development that we've been working on for quite a while and the integration that I want to make sure we get right. I mean, it's easy to launch an NBN product tomorrow, right? Mm. But that's not what we want to do. We want to make sure our experience and our application and everything else that we just spoke about is right. So, yeah, I would see us probably towards the end of July, early August, rolling out the products. Obviously, they got gigabit of speeds coming out now. So we're going to have, you know, products for gamers and people who want the high speed. But then we're also going to have the ability for you to turn that down as well if you don't need it at that time. So you're not paying for something that you don't need. So this is just a bunch of unique things that we want to put into the marketplace. And we're, as I said, super excited about bringing more choice to Australians with the Boost brand. And I think that that's the critical thing that we can deliver. And you know what I found is we do a really good job. It raises the bar for everybody else, right? Mm. So I think Australians win across the board. If a brand like Boost can come in, raise the bar. We launched the long life plans, as you know, on Boost. Suddenly everyone's doing long life plans. So in prepaid. So yeah. That's what we want to do. We want to raise the bar so consumers have a choice. And if they're not happy with their provider today, and I know a lot aren't, Boost is going to be there. And you know, Trevor, I'm very vocal and very approachable. People can find me on Twitter. They can find me on Facebook, find me on Instagram, and interact with me like our customers do today. And I would say right now that there's probably not one CEO in a telco land in Australia that has that level of access to their customers as I do. So I expect to hear the good. And I also expect to be called out for the not so good.
Do you sleep? Because you're on all the time.
No, I don't. I was saying something that does. I'm on constantly. So, look, you know, we got a long time to sleep when we move to the next world, Trevor. So I'll do it all then.
I support that. I mean, I think that's the attitude. Work while you can and make the most of it. You do obviously stay active and mountain biking and all that kind of stuff. The last thing I want to talk to you about quickly before you go, you're at Min Melbourne for the Grand Prix, just having a look. Does an event like that make you look at how essentially well Boost does activations of brand? You look at the Gold Coast race that you've done over many years. You know, you look at how brands activate in Melbourne. Did you get any ideas from any other companies over there?
Yeah, I did. And in fact, 2 weeks ago, I was at the NASCAR event in Las Vegas. And so I try to get to as many events as we can. I will say this, that I think we activate better at the Gold Coast event than Formula One. I mean, yeah. Formula One obviously is a big corporate structure down there. And there's a lot of people who aren't hardcore motor racing fans, but are like more spectacle fans, right? They want to be part of the spectacle and the atmosphere that's down there. But I was walking around trying to have a look at, okay, what can we do better to activate at the Gold Coast, Boost Mobile 500? And I got to tell you, I think we've got them on that one. I think we've got them on it. I really do believe that we've got a much better activation process. I also find the Gold Coast, obviously, on the beach there, the high rises. I mean, there's probably no better place in the world, to be honest with you, that if you had to have a race, that's where you want to have it.
Yeah. I'll tell you my great idea, because I don't have millions of dollars to put into my own marketing and nor would I want to, but I attended the Grand Prix last year in the Mercedes Grandstand. Now, that Mercedes Grandstand is only available to buy tickets if you're a Mercedes-Benz owner. Now, I think other companies should do that. I think you go, if a grandstand ticket is $120, we're still making $120. We cover the cost of the grandstand. But the difference was that they kind of roped off the back of the grandstand. So you had food trucks and toilets just for that grandstand. And it made it this really premium experience, which in fact, it wasn't that much more premium, but it was just for customers. And I think that is the kind of thing that is a give back at the same time as a take, because it's like, we want, you know, in your case, Boost Broadband customers, for example, to have access to something. And I think that idea of giving them something a little bit more premium at an event like that could, you know, take it to the next level. So things like that, I think, are a great way to let customers really enjoy the things that you enjoy, which is, in this case, motorsport. I think those are cool ideas.
No, Trevor, that's actually a good idea. As I said, I won't steal it, but I may borrow it. For the Gold Coast 500 this year for the Boost. So we might actually look at implementing that. I do like that, the red rope kind of experience. We did a lot of it. We do it a lot of it in the US. And you're right, there's not enough of it down here. So, yeah, I might just borrow that one from you. So,
no worries.
Well, I know Jason will hear this.
Yeah, Jason, get your act together and get on it.
Exactly.
Call me. I'll give you photos and send you all the details. The other business you and I'm happy to go into partnership with no financial interest, obviously, is a version of PS Reserve in Sydney. I reckon it would go nuts on a Sydney to Melbourne leg and a Sydney to LA legs. You know, people with a bit of coin paying for that, mate. It's my favorite thing in the world to do in LA.
It has changed going into Los Angeles Airport in and out. And I tell every Australian that I can, I said it's one of the best investments that you can go after. It really changes the game. You know, when I fly back tomorrow, I'll literally get off the plane, as you know, go downstairs, clear customs, and I'll do that within about 9 minutes. And I'll be out the other side, on the other side of the airport, and you know, getting in and out of LAX is terrible. It would kill it here in Australia. I absolutely believe that. And it's one of the things I think that we're going to try to do with broadband, is just to bring a little bit of that customer experience that, you know, some of the other global companies do, that we can kind of improve on down here and not just say, well, it's Australia, that's what you expect. I think we can do better across the board. So, yeah, I agree with you. That PS Suites is incredible.
I'll give it a crack when Boost Broadband launches in Australia. Good luck with it, and we'll talk again before it happens, I'm sure, and enjoy your remaining hours in Australia, and thanks for your time.
I appreciate it. Thanks very much, mate.
Now, look, I should clarify. I mean, that's a very millionaire speaking to plain nerd. PS Reserve, I didn't want to go into this with Peter on the phone, but PS Reserve is like a private lounge. Now, if you travel a little, you'll know that there's lounges that you might not get into because you're not a frequent flyer. Well, this thing is a level above that, right? And it costs a lot of money. I did it as a treat at the end of CES, and I just don't know how I'd fly out of LA again, because normally when you go to LA airport, you're stupid traffic to get in. You got to queue for hours through security. You got to queue for hours through immigration, whatever it is. Even the actual frequent flyer lounges are horrible. If you're at the gates, it's horrible. PS Reserve is literally a private suite or a small private area with others, and they check you through, they take your bags, and they drive you in a car to your plane. It's wild. It's a stupidly luxurious thing, which I couldn't do regularly if I was flying from Sydney to Melbourne, but there are people that fly Sydney to Melbourne or Sydney to Brisbane or wherever so regularly or internationally that they would absolutely forego all of the airport shenanigans, and they would pay for that. It's a wild concept, which I think could work here, but I just don't know how it would work on a wage level, because I think the staff is what make it work. And in Australia, obviously, wages are higher than America, and maybe that's – I don't know. It'd be an interesting one. I'd love to see him do it, though. See, he's got money. He could do it. I don't know. I assume. Anyway, there's another potential job for me. Down the track. I don't know. I'm just thinking of jobs. I don't know why I'm talking about jobs for me. I'm not looking at giving this one away anytime soon, okay? Don't get any stupid ideas. No, gee, it was just quickly talk Formula One. My son just sent me the news report that Daniel Ricciardo has been given 2 races to prove himself at AlphaTauri RB. I mean, Helmut Marko says this shit all the time. What does it really mean? Honestly, can we just relax? Oh, there's too many headlines. I actually think that's part of the problem with the world today. The competitiveness in online media means there's just too many headlines. It's the same with the Kate Middleton stuff. There's too many stories going around. Can we just, they've announced it, they've said it, we've reported it. Can we move on until they've got something else to say? Daniel's had a couple of shocking races. And you know what? If he doesn't lift his game in the next few races, of course he's going to be under pressure. It's not rocket science. Sometimes you don't need to get a quote to find out something that's obvious. But anyway, just give him some time. It's all good. I had an enjoyable Formula One Grand Prix on the weekend. Unfortunate for Max Verstappen to have a brake blowout. I'm not sure it would have been a runaway win for him, but I think he still would have probably had a bit of length on Carlos Sainz. But I thought it was good to see a bit of competition on the racetrack. Anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. We'll be back again next week with another episode of the EFTM podcast.